I couldn't make it through 60 picks, but you know what I like about the NBA draft, Brian? Unlike it moves fast. That 5 minutes it's a whirlwind. It has to be at different times. And I wanted to ask you out of the gate whether the Cavs threw it all a curveball into anything you did, anything the other teams did, taking the Canadian Tristan Thompson at number 4. Would you have taken him at 5 had he not gone?
No, we wouldn't. We felt that Tristan was obviously a great pick and a great prospect, but more or less a duplication of Ed Davis.
Okay.
And, you know, we talked long and hard about it. He's a great young man. I think he's, again, a prospect that is going to do very well in the league. He's going to have a great career as he refines his offensive skill set and, you know, continues to learn the game. He's really got such a great motor, and he's got a great body. He's got good length. I think he's got very good instincts. He's going to be a good one. And I think more than anything, what happened yesterday in terms of the curveball was the fact that Jonas Valanciunas didn't sign in a buyout agreement, and the Cavs, who had committed, I believe, to taking him at 4, decided, you know what, it wasn't worth the risk. We need to get a player now. Let's go ahead and get this done. It worked out for us. It fell into favor for us. We got a good pick out of this. This is the guy that we were targeting. He's the guy that projects out best in terms of the analytics. He also projects out best health-wise in terms of the top prospects. And it's not often that you get a chance to get a young, live body that plays the 5 position. And we jumped on it.
But with all due respect, Brian, he's a young, live body. But we have no idea, or I don't know if anyone does, when he'll be in a Raptors uniform. How long will it take to execute the buyout, and when could a Raptors fan expect to see him playing for the team?
Well, we're working on that now. Obviously, there's been buyout discussions between his agent, his American agent, his Lithuanian agent, and the club. The club is represented by yet another agent, so there's a few voices in the room. And I think that there's more or less an understanding that, you know, they want him for at least one season before he comes. There were some set amounts that they had agreed to. You know, why the kid decided not to sign the agreement, again, is something that's, you know, only known by the agent and the kid. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be speaking with the individuals involved today. I think that, you know, worst case scenario, you know, is a 3-year scenario, but I don't see that happening because there's a lot of money involved at stake for the club. If he leaves after 3 years, they get 0. If he leaves now or leaves a year from now, he's you know, going to pay them a big chunk of money. So there's all kinds of politics involved. I can't get too much more involved in terms of the detail, but it's not going to be long. I will say this. He's a 19-year-old kid. We were looking at multiple options that were all 19 years old. I'm not sure that any one pick was going to come in here and change the fortunes of the franchise. So you take the pick that you think is the best fit, the best long-term piece, the best short-term piece. And, you know, this is a guy that needs some development. He needs some physical development, even more so than skill, because he's got very good skills. He knows how to play, especially on the defensive side of the floor. He's a guy that's going to have a presence in the lane with his incredible length, shot-blocking ability, and also with his rebounding. So, and he moves so well for a 7-footer. He's very agile, bouncy, and gets out and covers screens, you know, the high screen and roll, the side screen and roll, covers a lot of ground because he is so quick and agile that, you know, again, this is all part of a plan. The plan that we started last November, it doesn't happen overnight, but this pick is going to be a great player for this team for many years to come.
This is seen as a risky pick, a ballsy pick. It's not seen as a safe pick. I know you spoke about your own situation, and you did it with us a couple weeks ago, and your situation doesn't influence a pick that you'd make, but would you concur that this will either be a big success or it might not be a success at all? There's nothing sort of average about this pick, I suppose?
Well, first of all, I don't consider this a risky pick at all. Ballsy, you know, if people think that all I'm thinking about is my job and my contract, then I guess it is a little bit ballsy. I could care less about that.
Yeah.
What I care about is doing the right thing for this team, putting a winning team on the floor, and this franchise in good stead in the future. And that's what we've done today, or last night with the pick. And you know, as we sit here today and have a little bit of uncertainty with this contract, that's not the biggest concern. The biggest concern is, what are we going to do right now to improve this basketball team this coming season? We've got a few things ahead of us to continue to add to this building project that we're going through. Again, this thing doesn't happen overnight. You take steps, you move forward. We've already kind of altered the course with respect to changing the philosophy from a maybe more of an offensive philosophy to a defensive philosophy. We're going to be playing flow offense, so we're going to be looking in free agency for players that fit that. There's been numerous trade conversations with other teams about acquiring players. We still have the $9 million exception, which could play into that. I'm being very careful not to disrupt the cap flexibility that we've worked very hard to create. So, again, this is the next step in the evolution. And, again, to think that any player was going to come in and change the fortunes of the franchise, I think is a little bit misguided. We've got good young core talent that's developing, and they're working hard, they're committed. And, again, there's a patience to this rebuilding, and we're exercising that for sure.
But Brian, the Raptors are coming off a 22-win season. The fans suffered through that. Would the team not be better with a Kemba Walker, Brandon Knight to start this season than waiting at best for a full year for this kid from Lithuania?
You know, I think the best I can tell you is you know, Kemba is an exciting player. He clearly put a team on his back in the NCAAs and in the Big East tournament. He is definitely a guy that would have been the sexy pick, but we weren't looking for sexy. We were looking for the right pick for this team and this franchise. And in terms of Brandon, you know, there's no telling, you know, how long it would take him to adapt. You know, he's a freshman in college. He's a very smart, intelligent young man, very impressive. Doesn't have really a true position. There's a lot of debate whether or not he is a true point guard, or is he going to be a combo guard a la, you know, Jason Terry in Dallas. Again, we look at a whole host of things. We look at health. We look at, you know, mental mindset in terms of the performance evaluation, psychological performance evaluation. We look at the metrics that project out, you know, various things in this league, what guys have done in college in equal minutes or like minutes compared to what current players have done. You can utilize these tools to project out where a guy is going to be. There's no science to it, but by and large, Jonas Valanciunas was the best pick for us to take at number five.
I feel like you've lived through this a little bit before, and I'm sure you find it amusing. You look at the other sports, and you're probably like anybody else. You'd sit there, watch the NFL draft, and go, no, why? And I feel like you lived through this a little bit with Amari Stoudemire, Brian, and the reaction. I mean, people would have said, no, take Jared Jeffries because he went to Indiana, and take Caron Butler because he's in that amazing program with Jim Calhoun. And you went off the board with Stoudemire, and it was a grand slam. This happens from time to time, doesn't it? And I know you're aware the pick's probably not a popular one, and I know you don't. It doesn't and can't influence you, but you're certainly aware of it.
Of course, you know, I know that there was some, you know, some people, some angst, I'll call it, in the room last night with respect to the draft party that we held, and I know that there's going to be some people that question the pick, especially because, you know, the kid's not here right now or next year potentially. But again, you need to look at the big picture from my chair. It's not a popular chair to sit in sometimes, so I deal with it. I'm a big boy. I've been here before. I'm trying to make the right and necessary decisions to do the right things for this franchise. And ultimately, when we are winning and when this kid's a big piece of all that, I think some people will look back and say, you know what, they were right.
Is this going to be another rebuilding year, though, if the Valanciunas can't play with the team to begin the season?
Well, you know, like I said, we're in a rebuilding plan. Nobody said it was going to take 3 months or 9 months or 3 years. You develop according to the steps that present themselves. We still have free agency. We still have trades. We still have a new set of rules to deal with. There's a lot of unknowns right now out there with respect to what this team will look like by the time we get on the floor. I do know this. You know, what you mentioned before about fans suffering through a 22-win season, I had multiple fans, people that are ticket-buying season seat holders, tell me that the team that was on the floor last year was so much more enjoyable to watch than the previous year when we actually won 40 games in an underachieving season. It's amazing to hear that, you know, those kind of things, because, you know, you win 22 games, you think, man, everything's falling through the bottom. when the people that are buying the tickets tell you that, and they understand and like the development of the young players that we've put out there, you know, the Jared Bayless's, DeMar DeRozan's, James Johnson coming in late last year, Amir Johnson, you know, Ed Davis in the draft last year, and people appreciate what actually Bargnani can do, not just talk about the things he can't do. You know, there's a story to tell here. And we've just added another piece. It may or may not become a piece that adds to the equation this year. But again, this is not going to happen overnight. It's a rebuilding plan. And you know in sports it takes more than a one-year window to do that. This was the next necessary step to take. And again, although it might not be the sexy pick, it was the right pick, and I think it'll prove itself out over time.
Before you go, we have 40 seconds. I want to ask you if there's anything to update on Leandro Barbosa. We read a lot whether he'll come back. We know it's more based on the lockout potential than it is anything to do with Toronto or the Raptors. What's true, what isn't, about where Barbosa's at in your conversations with him?
Well, the only thing I can share with you is that he has an option that he needs to decide whether or not he's going to exercise. It's a one-year scenario. The salary is set. It's a decision he needs to make. And, by Saturday, we should know what his intentions are. If he comes back, we'll be very happy. He's a brilliant scorer, as you've seen. He's a great, speed player. He plays in the flow. He can probably play a lot better defense because he's got great quickness and agility. We've got now a new defensive mindset at the helm in terms of the coaching picture with Dwayne Casey there. Who I've been very, very impressed with in terms of all of our interaction thus far and the way he's fit into everything we're doing right now. And at the end of the day, Leandro's just got to make that call. He's got to decide whether he wants to play under a one-year scenario or go in and test free agency and see if he can create a multi-year scenario. His brother, who recently fired Leandro's agent, is out discussing some things about maybe playing overseas or in Brazil. There's probably some short-term money that's there, and maybe they can capitalize on the 2016 Olympics that are staged in Brazil. I'm not certain what they're going to do, but we'll know soon enough.